Excuse me. I'd like to remind participants today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Deb Delisle, the Assistant Secretary for Elementary and Secondary Education at the U.S. Department of Ed. I want to thank you for joining today's webinar on ESEA flexibility monitoring. Although I've only been here for 2 months, I have heard from a lot of folks at the department that you and your teams are already hard at work implementing your state's approved flexibility plans and certainly getting your schools ready for the start of the school year. And I know once August 1st hits, which it did today, the month was going to fly past us. So as you implement ESEA flexibility, our staff is committed to building on the relationships that have been developed with you and your teams during the review of requests. And I want to be sure that you know that we want to support you in carrying out your plans to improve achievement for all students, and we are looking forward to hearing about your successes. And certainly, if challenges arise as you implement your approved requests, we want to be your partner in helping to address them. And I understand that the difficult side of the flexibility waiver process is actually the set of legal obligations which the department must follow to monitor states to ensure that they are implementing their plans consistent with the approved requests and the requirements of ESEA flexibility, as well as other Title I requirements that have not been waived. Earlier this week, your chief should have received a letter that set out the department's plans for conducting initial monitoring of ESEA flexibility in states with approved requests. We also sent that letter to the state flexibility contact leads. And I want to emphasize, if there's a lead on the phone who did not receive that, be sure that you connect with us somehow so that we are able to follow up and figure out if we have the right address for you or not. I also really want to be clear on the front of this that we're not proposing and we've not designed the monitoring plans to be a kind of gotcha type of process. But instead, we want monitoring to confirm that your plans are moving forward as intended, and if needed, to serve as a way to preemptively address any roadblocks or challenges that may take an SEA off track in carrying out its plans to increase the quality of instruction or improve achievement for all students. So as the monitoring process was developed, our staff worked with states to secure their initial feedback on the process, the content, and even the overall potential burden of the monitoring plan. The process was then examined through a pilot with three states, and I want to thank those three states for engaging with us on that pilot. As a result, the department made several adjustments to improve the monitoring protocol and process, including the limitation of evidence that SEAs must submit to the department for review, and also by working across the department to limit duplication of monitoring efforts and data collection. So let me assure you that as the process evolves, it is our goal to identify ways in which we can differentiate monitoring and technical assistance. Understanding that each approved state's plan varies, it's important for us to consider the needs of each state and their progress as implementation occurs. Therefore, it's our goal to provide you timely and productive feedback, as well as to identify areas where all states could use additional support from us. And I want to emphasize again that we're going to identify ways in which we can begin to differentiate our monitoring process by individual state needs. Please be assured that our office will continue to assess the monitoring process as it is rolled out and adjust as needed to ensure efficiency and effectiveness. Today, our staff is going to walk you through the monitoring plans in detail and hopefully will diminish any initial concerns or anxiety that come with the topic of monitoring. If you have any questions, concerns, or you'd like support as your state continues its implementation of ESEA flexibility, please don't hesitate to reach out to me or to my staff. As I close my comments, I really want you to know that I recognize that this is a complex process. I appreciate your focus on improving schools for all of our students. And I'm now going to turn the webinar over to Nola Cromer, who's going to walk you through our plans in greater detail. Nola?
Thank you. During today's webinar, we're going to provide you with a high-level overview of the department's plans for monitoring state implementation of ESEA flexibility. We're also going to take a closer look at the initial monitoring that will occur for all states, which we're going to refer to as Part A. And for Part A, we're going to walk you through the structure of the monitoring and also the areas that will be covered in this initial monitoring. Finally, we will open up the phone lines for any questions that you might have. As the department monitors states implementing their approved request for ESEA flexibility, we have three goals that we want to achieve. First, we want to continue to support states in their work by providing technical assistance when needed and also identifying practices that are working well for your states that could be used to support or inform the work of other states. As Assistant Secretary DeLisle just stated, we want to continue our relationship with states, and therefore we are hoping through the monitoring process to learn from you about what is working to be able to share that with other states. Second, we want to see how your implementation of ESEA flexibility is improving outcomes for students. And third, we want to ensure that a state's implementation is complying with the state's approved request, the principles of ESEA flexibility, and also any unwaived Title I requirements. Because we know that this is a very busy time of year for all of you, and that there are many pieces of your request that will take time to get in place, rather than beginning full-scale monitoring immediately, we have broken down our monitoring into three components that will occur over time, beginning with a fairly short check-in on where you are in your implementation of the ESEA flexibility. The first component, which is Part A, which we will walk through in detail during today's webinar, will be our initial monitoring of all states. This desk monitoring component will be a 1.5-hour phone call with each state that will be scheduled sometime between August the 20th and October the 15th, and will focus on the critical elements that a state should have in place in order to implement flexibility. The second component, Part B, which is still in development, will be a second desk monitoring that will look in greater depth at some of the components that states are implementing in this first year. And we would expect that this would occur early in 2013. These first two parts will serve as a one-time monitoring event designed to ensure that states are on track in the early stages of implementing ESEA flexibility. Again, these are both desk monitoring components, and we recognize that they occur early in implementation, and so consequently we have structured them to focus on the components that a state will be working on at that time. The third component, Part C, will be in the form of monitoring that will continue throughout the duration of the waiver. States will receive various combinations of desk monitoring, on-site monitoring, and progress checks over the period of the waiver. We also need to let you know that we're working to differentiate this portion of the monitoring based on state needs and state requests. We don't expect this portion to begin until late in the 2012-2013 school year. For states with approved requests, the monitoring that occurs across these three parts will take the place of a state's Title I monitoring, as unwaived Title I requirements will be incorporated into the process and protocols. Additionally, as we develop Parts B and C, we are working across the department to reduce duplication and the burden on states to limit that overlap in monitoring among ESEA flexibility and other programs such as school improvement grants, the Teacher Incentive Fund, Race to the Top, and others. Now I'm going to turn the webinar over to Christy, who will walk you through Part A monitoring in more detail.
Thanks, Nola. Keeping in mind the broader goals of monitoring that Nola talked about, and that there are some specific goals that the department is looking to achieve through Part A. As we articulated at the beginning, we are looking to foster the collaborative relationship that we developed between the SEA and the department during the request review process. To accomplish this, we want to gain a deeper understanding of each state's overarching and strategic goals and how the SEA's flexibility plans help an SEA achieve these goals. We want to see that states have the essential elements of ESEA flexibility in place to implement in the 12-13 school year, and we'll talk you through what those are today. And we want to identify any areas for possible technical assistance moving forward. As NOLA and Assistant Secretary Delisle mentioned, we initially intended to begin with a more detailed and in-depth monitoring of all states. However, we heard from states that this will be a very busy time and thus decided to sort of scale back this initial monitoring and to focus on these essential components that we'll walk through now. So what does Part A monitoring look like? The monitoring that will occur in Part A will entail a 1.5-hour conference call between the SEA and ED staff, and we'll follow the protocol that you received earlier this week. And to reassure you, we did pilot this, as Assistant Secretary Delisle mentioned, with three states, and we were able to conduct these calls in approximately an hour and a half. On these calls for the department, we'll have staff from across programs in the Office of Elementary and Secondary Education, including Title I and the Office of School Turnaround on the call. We ask that on the SEA's end, you have on the phone staff who can respond to the questions in the protocol, which means staff who are working closely with the SEA's accountability system and implementation of interventions in priority and focus schools, as well as the Title I directors. We also strongly encourage you to involve staff across your SEA who are working on flexibility-related programs to participate in the call to ensure that there is an integrated approach to implementing flexibility. Over the next few days, department staff will contact the state's ESEA flexibility contact lead to schedule the call for monitoring between August 20th and October 15th. We will certainly do our best to accommodate your state's preferences and schedule. Please know, however, that we won't be able to schedule all calls at the end of September and early October and still provide timely feedback. Prior to this call, to the monitoring call, states must submit to the department copies of any documentation that help address the questions in the protocol. The documentation that an SEA should submit is listed in the protocol under the column at the far right titled Acceptable Evidence, and further categorized as documentation. Generally, these are documents like letters, emails, templates given to LEAs or schools, examples of plans provided by LEAs, guidance documents, FAQs, copies of webinars, or links to information posted on an SEA's website. Please know that we are not looking for you to create new documentation, but to essentially compile and send to us documentation that your state has already created and possibly disseminated to LEAs, schools, or the public, or provide us with links to that information and where it is on a state's website. We'll talk more about the evidence in the next few slides. These materials should be submitted to the department electronically, either by email, or you can provide us, as I just mentioned, links to the documentation if they're available online already. Or, as some states have done before, provided this information through a secure site if that is easiest. Generally, we'll ask for this information to be provided approximately 2 weeks prior to the scheduled call. However, for states that may have their call scheduled at the end of August, we will work with you to determine an appropriate time for submitting those materials. Prior to the monitoring call, staff will review these materials to determine if there are any follow-up questions and also to see if there are any questions for the protocol that have already been addressed through that documentation. In an effort to reduce duplication and burden on states, the monitoring team will be collaborating with staff in other programs across the department to gather information that a state may have already provided to those program offices that might help address questions in the protocol. In terms of the monitoring phone call, the structure of the phone call will primarily follow the guiding questions in the protocol. The questions in the protocol that are asterisked will be asked if they are applicable to a state's individual SEA's request. This is one area where we've tried to differentiate. The monitoring team may ask some follow-up questions or questions that are specific to an SEA's request. For example, the team may ask about an issue or concern that was highlighted in the state's implementation letter. The monitoring team may not ask some questions. For example, if a state has sufficiently addressed a question through the evidence that it submitted, or if we've been able to gather that information from another program office within the department, the team may not ask that question on the phone. As you can see in the protocol, the types of information an SEA will likely describe on the phone is listed under the column labeled Acceptable Evidence and categorized as Interview. An SEA should be prepared to provide that answer on the conference call orally and does not need to, and in fact should not, provide the department with written responses to the statements that say SEA described. We're just looking for that to be addressed on the phone call. So what will actually be covered in the monitoring call? If you have had a chance to review the protocol, you will see several questions and indicators that will be discussed on that monitoring call. We will ask states some general framing questions. We will ask questions on Principle 2, questions related to fiscal integrity, and some additional questions about outreach and technical assistance. While the SEA provided plans for addressing many of these questions in its approved request, the monitoring will look for evidence that the SEA is carrying out those plans. Also, we know that this only touches the tip of the iceberg when it comes to all the work that your state is already doing across the three principles. We look forward to talking about that work in other principles in greater detail during future monitoring calls, particularly in Part B later in the school year. Now we'll take a look at the protocol itself and the content that's in the protocol. To begin the Part A phone call, we want to walk through a set of framing questions. These questions are designed to give Ed a better understanding of your state's overall goals for education and how flexibility helps fits into those goals. Your responses will give Ed some additional context for your work in implementing flexibility and also help make sure that our conversation now and in the future keeps these goals and that vision in mind. Again, these are questions for discussion, and there's nothing that you need to provide us in advance. Following a discussion of the framing questions, the call will focus on the SEA's implementation of ESEA flexibility to ensure consistency with the state's approved request and the principles of ESEA flexibility. The department staff will ask questions to get a sense of where the SEA is in implementing essential components of Principle 2. In particular, we will ask about whether the SEA has run its state accountability system using school year 2011-2012 data, and whether any problems have arisen. As you see in the protocol, for a state that is using a combined subgroup in its accountability system, we will want to know about the impact of the use of that subgroup on capturing additional schools and students using the most recent data. We know that many of you already gave us this information upon approval. In that case, we're just looking to confirm that when you ran your data based on 11-12, what kind of schools and additional students were also captured. To demonstrate that an SEA has met this requirement, an SEA does not need to provide any additional documentation, but can address this through the phone call by describing its process, any issues, and the impact of the combined subgroup. However, if the state has existing supporting documentation, such as data, the state may feel free to submit that to the department as evidence. Next, we will discuss the state's identification of reward priority in focus schools. We expect that when we talk to states, you will have identified each of those types of schools and made those lists public. This is the type of question where if sufficient information is provided in advance through the documentation that a state submits and evidence of making that list public, we may not need to actually talk about this on the phone call. Additionally, if your state already provided that information to the department with its final list of reward priority and focus schools in line with the August 1st deadline, you will not need to provide that list again, just evidence demonstrating that the list has been made public. The next area that will be discussed are priority schools. As you are aware, a state must implement interventions aligned with the turnaround principles or one of the four SIG intervention models in at least a subset of all priority schools in the 12-13 school year. Therefore, we're looking to see that priority schools that the SEA indicated in its approved request would implement in the 12-13 school year are on track to implement at the start of the school year. Or, if we talk to you at a time when the school year has already begun, that those schools are already implementing interventions aligned with all of the turnaround principles or one of the SIG models. This is a good example of a place where the questions an SEA is asked will depend on the systems and plans described in its request. For example, for a state that has indicated that it will only serve its SIG schools for the 12-13 school year, part of the monitoring team will include staff from the Office of School Turnaround, and what they will ask about whether the new Cohort 3 SIG schools are ready to implement at the start of the 12-13 school year, and also ask about any outstanding implementation issues in existing SIG schools. However, the state will not be asked questions 10 and 11 on the protocol. For states that will also implement interventions in non-SIG priority schools in the 12-13 school year, the monitoring team will also ask about the preparations to implement interventions in those schools, the interventions being implemented relating to leadership and effective teachers, and how the SEA is ensuring that those schools are implementing interventions aligned with all of the turnaround principles at the start of the school year. You will see these are questions 10 and 11 in the protocol. As you can see in the evidence column, acceptable evidence an SEA could submit includes copies of any needs analysis or planning documents for non-SIG priority schools, or evidence of how the SEA is ensuring schools are ready to implement. We will also talk about focus schools on the conference call. As you are aware, LEAs must implement interventions in all focus schools during the first semester of the 12-13 school year. Therefore, we will look to see that an SEA is ensuring its LEAs are on track to implement in the first semester, for example, by planning for those interventions as indicated in an SEA's request, and that the SEA is ensuring its LEAs will implement interventions aligned with the reason for the school's identification and in accordance with the timeline. To demonstrate this, SEAs can provide copies of any needs analyses or planning documents, or copies of guidance provided to LEAs regarding the selection of interventions, and evidence of how it is carrying out its plans to ensure LEA implementation. Next, the call will include a discussion of the SEA's work providing incentives and supports for other Title I schools, those schools that are not identified as reward priority and focus schools. We will ask about how the SEA is ensuring that other Title I schools receive supports and incentives, either through the SEA or their LEAs, consistent with the state's approved request. For SEAs that are identifying another category of Title I schools, we'll want to know if an SEA has identified those schools at that point in time. To demonstrate this, SEAs can provide copies of communications or guidance provided to LEAs on providing supports to other Title I schools, and if applicable, a list of other Title I schools that are identified for incentives and support. The last component of Principle 2 that will be discussed involves the capacity building plans that the SEA proposed in its request. In particular, we will look to see where the SEA is in implementing its plans to hold LEAs accountable and to monitor LEAs for implementing interventions in priority schools. An SEA could provide copies or drafts of protocols that will be used to monitor and describe on the call where it is in its process of holding LEAs accountable. For SEAs that proposed identifying LEAs for improvement, we will ask about whether those LEAs have been identified, and you'll see that in the protocol in question 17. An SEA could provide copies of any communications with LEAs indicating their status or evidence showing that they have been identified. I'll now turn it back over to Nola, who will talk through some of the fiscal questions that will be discussed on the monitoring call.
In addition to asking questions particularly about Principle 2, which Christy covered, the Part A protocol includes a few questions relating to fiscal requirements. We will ask about the guidance that a state has provided to its LEAs about the allowable use of funds under ESEA flexibility. For example, we want to see that states are communicating to their LEAs about what flexibility the waivers allow and what flexibilities the waivers do not allow. This is a good example of a place where the type of guidance that an SEA provides will depend on its request. For example, some states are now requiring their LEAs that have Title I priority and focus schools to reserve a certain percentage of their Title I funds to provide interventions in those schools. We will ask about the ways that the SEA may have let its LEAs know about these allowable uses of funds. As you can see in the evidence column, acceptable evidence that an SEA could submit would include a copy of any guidance that the state has provided to its LEAs, any webinars, PowerPoint presentations on allowable uses of funds under ESEA flexibility, for example, the information on set-asides, taking advantage of the waiver relating to transferability, operating school-wide programs in priority schools, and or revised consolidated applications that we understand that many states are either considering or in the process of doing. In terms of rank order, this question will only be asked of a state that requested Waiver 13, flexibility regarding within-district allocations, and has identified any Title I eligible high schools with graduation rates below 60% as priority schools. We will ask about the way that the state has informed its LEAs for which this waiver would be applicable, about this particular waiver, and how they have informed their LEAs. As you can see in the evidence column, acceptable evidence that an SEA could submit would include, again, copies of guidance that the state has provided to its LEAs, any letters, memos, webinars, frequently asked questions, or other things of that nature regarding the requirement related to serving out of rank order Title I eligible high schools with graduation rates below 60% that the SEA has identified as priority schools. In addition, we will ask the state about how the process that it will use to ensure that its LEAs that request this waiver meet requirements related to rank ordering. Finally, during the call, you will be asked a few additional questions. These questions will focus on the ongoing outreach and dissemination of information to LEAs and schools related to the implementation of ESEA flexibility, as well as any technical assistance needs that you have. You will also have the chance to pose any further questions related to ESEA flexibility that we would be happy to address or discuss. Following the conference call, the monitoring team will schedule a brief exit conference with you to provide the department's initial feedback. While it may take us a few weeks to schedule these calls, we will work to get you feedback as soon as possible. The monitoring team will produce a monitoring report based on an analysis of the information provided on the call and documentation submitted prior to the call. We are still in the process of finalizing the format for the report to ensure that it provides really valuable feedback to states. As Assistant Secretary DeLisle stated at the beginning, this is not intended to be a gotcha, but the process aims to acknowledge where the SEA's work is going well and provide support if an SEA's implementation is slightly off track. We will be sure to share a copy of the report template as soon as it is available. In addition, you will have a chance to view your state's report prior to it being made public. At this point in time, we're going to contact the operator to open the phone lines for any calls that states may have. We're going to ask if you would please, once the lines are open, please put your phones on mute and only take them off mute when you have a question to ask. We do have a question that has come in already through the chat line, and someone has asked, is it possible to get an electronic version of the presentation? Once the presentation is complete, since it is being recorded, it will actually be posted on our website, and we will notify you as to when the PowerPoint presentation, as well as the verbal part of the presentation, is up and can be listened to and viewed.
sign in for the webinar.
Okay, all lines are open.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Marilyn. We have a quick question.
Yes.
Will it be possible to get this monitoring protocol in a Word version so that we can put our answers directly into the document before the call?
What we're looking for is not for states to actually write out the answers to the questions.
I understand. It would be for our use, for our internal use within our team.
Oh. Sure, I think we can make that available to you.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
I have a question regarding Section 2A. I wanted to confirm what is going to be requested to meet 2A if the changes to the accountability system aren't taking place until the end of the 12-13 school year.
So is this a state that is actually doing a transition plan?
Correct. We are transitioning from our state accountability system during this next year.
Could we inquire as to which state this is?
It's Louisiana.
For this particular question, we'll follow up with you with a call after the webinar is finished, if that's okay.
That sounds good to me.
Okay.
Hi, this is Nevada.
Yes.
We have a question regarding question number six with respect to identifying our schools. During submission, we used 10-11 data, and to generate table two, is it the expectation that we use 2011-12 data?
It's up to you, whatever you indicated in your request. If the 10-11 data was your final list, we will use that as your final list. And otherwise, some states opted to use 11-12 data and to provide us with a final list after approval. So it's up to an individual state whether they're using the 10-11 data for their list or 11-12 data.
Okay, thank you. That helps.
We have a question that came through the chat function. Will calls be scheduled in the order of a state's approval? When monitoring teams are scheduling calls with states, they will work with you to determine, to consider your preference, to consider their own team schedules. They will take into consideration when a state was approved in terms of determining an actual time during that August 20th to October 15th window for scheduling those calls.
There's another question that has come in through the chat line. What unwaived elements of Title I will be monitored, and will there be indicators for them? Again, this is probably going to be something that is addressed in the second part of our monitoring, which would be Part B, and we'll be sharing that protocol with states before we actually implement that.
But some of the things that you should keep in mind are, for example, equitable services for private school students, comparability, maintenance of effort, some of the standard physical requirements that have to be done no matter what, parent involvement activities. Those are some of the things that we expect to be getting in that Part B monitoring.
Any additional questions? question came in, how do you prefer we make changes to our ESCA flexibility contact information to ensure timely communication regarding the upcoming monitoring? If you could send an email to the ESCA flexibility mailbox, it's ESCAflexibility@ed.gov, that we will make sure that that gets updated immediately. So we have another question coming up in through the mailbox. Will Ed streamline the waiver and Title I monitoring if a state has an upcoming visit? The monitoring of ESCA flexibility for a state with an approved request will take the place of Title I monitoring. If you have a particular question relating to your state and an upcoming monitoring visit, please, we will get in touch with you regarding that.
This is Virginia. Could you tell us what your thoughts are in terms of updating the accountability workbook, or is that something that will be addressed at a later time?
We are actually in the process of revising the accountability workbook for states that have ESCA flex. We're trying to significantly streamline that, and we hope to have more information on that for you early in the fall.
Any further questions? Great. Well, if you have any questions moving forward, please feel free to email the flexibility mailbox, ESCAflexibility@ed.gov, and you should look forward to hearing from a member of the monitoring team in the coming days ahead. Thanks very much for your time, and we hope you have a great rest of your afternoon.